Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Decided to jump on here, do a quick show tonight. I don't know how long I'm going to be on here, but going to stay on here long enough to get my point across. I didn't really talk about this yesterday on last night's show because I was really trying to wait to see if it was real, if I was dreaming, if they was really going to let this killer cop out. And I get up today and find out that, yep, he's definitely free. Jason Van Dyke, one of many cops who were in on the murder of Laquan McDonald. And I know that I don't have to go back over the particulars. I think we all saw the footage that happened back in 2014, and this son of a bitch, this killer cop didn't go to jail until 2019. First of all, let me welcome everybody who's online listening. If you are online listening and would like to call in, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. I want to thank my listeners in Ireland, Germany. I also want to thank my brothers and sisters that listen in Nigeria, Canada, and the United States. Also, my listeners on Activate Media, Activate Radio, out of Boston, Mass. Okay, now that I've got the particulars out of the way, I'm fixing to dig into this because it's really pissed me off in the light of other things that are going on. But this one caught my attention, and this one really had me hot earlier. And I'm still very, very, very upset about the whole thing. So I'm going to take a quick minute to set the table. I'm going to read this particular little excerpt out of this article, and then I am going to open the mics, and I'm going in. Like I say, we all know the particulars, the murder of Laquan McDonald. They tried to lie, as usual, and cover that shit up like they always do, just like they were trying to do in the case of Ahmaud Arbery, just like they're doing in the case I brought to you all's attention last Monday about Lauren Smith Fields. And I'll go back over that also a little later in the show because nothing has changed in that case as well. But in the case of Laquan McDonald, the murder that happened in 2014, and this is coming straight from the Chicago Tribune. That killer cop was actually free at 10 a.m. this morning. This is the secrecy surrounding Dyke's incarceration. And that's another thing that pissed me off as I was reading over this. They didn't even let anybody. They kept all that shit a secret, where he was in jail and all of that secret, you know, until the final out. Let's see. The secrecy surrounding Van Dyke's incarceration lasted up until his final hours behind bars, with the state prison officials refusing to disclose where or exactly when he was being released. Spokesperson for Governor J.B. Pritzker, who just sounds like he ain't for us. But anyway, he told the Tribune that as of 10 a.m. Thursday, Van Dyke was no longer in IDOC custody, but provided no further details. Thursday afternoon, after repeated efforts to contact the Illinois Department of Corrections, a spokeswoman for the agency said Van Dyke had been released about 12:15 a.m. Thursday, which is after midnight. So after midnight last night, Van Dyke was released from a minimum security Taylorville Correctional Center near Springfield. Van Dyke still must serve 3 years of supervised release, which is Illinois' version of parole. So damn their parole. Damn their parole. Damn them letting him go. Mayor Lori Lightfoot issued a statement early Thursday on Van Dyke's impending exit from prison. I know some Chicagoans remain disheartened and angry, and I can just imagine how Chicago feels right now. The weather wasn't bad. Chicago should be on fucking fire right now. There are a lot of cities across this country that should be on fucking fire for the shit that they do. It goes on to say that, as I said at the time, while the jury reached the correct guilty verdict, and yeah, that was the correct verdict, but the time ain't correct. I mean, the judge's decision to sentence Van Dyke to only 81 months, 81 months, let that sink in, and do the math on 81 months, that's not a lot of time for killing a man. Goes on to say it remains a supreme disappointment. The statement read, I understand why this continues to feel like a miscarriage of justice. This is what she goes on to say, especially when black and brown men get sentenced to so much more prison time for having committed far lesser crimes. It's these distortions in the criminal justice system historically that have made it so hard to build trust. You're damn right. You're damn right. That's why I say damn them police. Damn all of them. It ain't no good cops. If it was good cops out here, it wouldn't continuously be murders in our communities. Lightfoot's statement said that Chicago Police Department and the city have made progress on the reform effort since the killings. There's really been no reform. There's really been no change. This happened before George Floyd. You know, this happened before Botham Jean. This happened before several, Breonna Taylor. So this shit's still escalating. This shit is still happening today, to this very day. Dante Wright. So what are we going to do? Why is it that these punk-ass killer cops continue to get leniency? Why is it that these racist-ass white people who kill us and gun us down continue to get leniency? And then just like with the Ahmaud Arbery, there should be no talk of leniency the way they gunned him down in the street like a dog. And that still bothers me, just visualizing the Ahmaud Arbery killing and how that racist-ass killer, McMichaels, shot him twice with a shotgun at point-blank range, and he was no threat to either one of them. And now you have this son of a, this jackass killer cop, Van Dyke, now out. So why is it that we continue to allow these circumstances to prevail, to exist, to happen? And they don't have any fear because there has never been any real consequence for their actions. So this bullshit here is nothing new. This is nothing new. You know, just another saga in the lives of black men, women, children in America. We have always been disposable. We have always been expendable. We have always been murdered at the hands of white Americans at their will, without consequence. So I'm going to open up my mic. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and open up the mics. See, I got a caller on. I think I know who this is. And like I say, then I want to also, right quick, before I let my guest speak, I was bothered by a case, and this is just like I say, you know, the white racist America is just as involved in our killings, and I'm not understanding. We need to separate ourselves from these murderous, barbaric killers. The case that I was talking about on last week that caught my eye and really pissed me off as well, Lauren Smith Fields, who was a 23-year-old black woman. She lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and she was killed by Anthony LaFontaine. And I say she was killed. They haven't arrested him, but she met him on a dating site, Bumble dating site. And they went out and whatnot, and as his story, his version of the story goes, they had a drink, and she went to bed, then he went to bed, then he woke up next to her, she was dead. But mind you, I did a little bit of Googling on yesterday or day before, But anyway, come to find out that she had fentanyl in her system. So I'm saying yes, that. And then, like, check this out. This guy has not been arrested, has not been considered a suspect in this death. And the family didn't find out, was not informed of the death. The police didn't tell the family about the death. They had to find out about their loved one dying. And yet and still, this man, this white man who was 50 years old, mind you, she was 23, so, and I've got a problem with that. That's that old white pedophilia type of thing. Even though she was grown, I mean, who 50 years old goes after 23-year-olds? I'm 52 years old, and there's nothing that a 23-year-old has for me, period. Daughter that's 23 years old. So, well, 22, actually, but the hell do I need with a 23-year-old and I'm 50? But, like I say, long story short, the police have not subpoenaed any records from the Bumble dating site. They have not requested any of the information that could be valuable. And then they're not even considering him a suspect. And see, there was a case here in Texas, in McKinney, Texas, that was similar to that, where there was a African young lady who was roommates with a Caucasian who was found hanging, literally hanging, in her garage. And I'm going to have to go back. I still haven't went back to revisit that to see what has become of that case either. But in the midst of that case, there were no arrests. The white man, the white roommate, the white guy was not arrested, not considered a suspect. And mind you, her body was supposedly hanging in that garage for 3 days. So I'm tired of watching white America, and I am tired of watching white racists be allowed to commit murder, get away with murder, and have little to no consequence. And then they have no perception of atonement. And I have no perception of forgiveness. So, brother, I got your mic open. I'm going to let you jump in here. Peace and welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Peace, brother man. How you feel?
Man, I feel like a black man in America.
I feel you, brother. I'm on board with you 100%. As the show's progressing, I'm like you said in your opening, bro, about if the weather was warmer, more shit would be on fire. But what you're not aware of is that there's been viable threats and attacks on police here on all sides of town, particularly on the south side and in the area where young brother Laquan was murdered. They're on State Street, excuse me. And so it's like, and now I'm watching live video of a street on the south side where people are tripping, essentially. Hopefully it doesn't get too bad. And like you said, if the weather was warmer, they'd be destroying shit downtown. Worse than they did with the George Floyd situation. Add on to that, brother, and I won't take up too much of your time. I'll yield my time after this.
Oh, take your time. Take your time.
We
got 2 hours.
Thank you for indulging me. I didn't know how long you wanted to do the show. But anyway, so, you know, the Rainbow Coalition, Jesse Jackson and his cohorts are demanding an investigation by the DOJ. And we've known in history, in the history of America, Triple K, when you ask somebody to investigate themselves, you know, the outcome, you're not going to be satisfied with the outcome ever. We've seen that too many times in the history. So with that said, you know, it really does matter what even if or when the DOJ takes this case on. It'll just be another cop, like you said, getting away with murder with no remorse, with no concept of atonement or accountability whatsoever. And it's just, and the beat just goes on and on and on. But from what I know, from what I know in my city, these niggas ain't going to take this shit lying down. And that's why it's so secretive. That's why they let that fool out at 12:15 this morning, not 12 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, they do everything in the dark. You know, they do all their dirt in the dark. So, with that said, brother, you know, the city of Chicago, CPD, is currently embroiled in so much misconduct and paying out tens of millions of dollars in settlements. In civil lawsuits, because of their blatant misconduct. We got a cop that just killed his girlfriend. His living girlfriend, fine young 29-year-old black sister. Murder, and he's a seven year veteran of CPD, and this is a brother. And you got another brother. Again, the CPD is embroiled in controversy and misconduct. They got another brother remember we did the show about John Burge and the secret police squad kidnapping and killing and convicting, railroad niggas to the pen? Yeah, another Burge, but he was a black brother. And right now the city's embroiled with his bullshit. And he was doing the same thing that Burge was doing. He was like, this dude was worse than Alonzo Harris in Training Day. He was a bad cop. And so, and the history of them, of the cover-ups and taking away the magnifying glass to focus on something else. They got a long history of this bullshit, and nobody's talking about these other cops that murdered Rakia Boyd, you know, almost in the same neighborhood, and all this took place prior to, you know, so again, this place, my beloved city, is just embroiled in controversy and murder and chaos and misconduct and corruption. And it's never going to end until we, as you said earlier in your live, in your Facebook live, it's not going to stop until we make it stop. And I yield my time.
Yeah, definitely agree. And yeah, I mean, like I say, I was actually on another podcast on Sunday night, and we were talking about the subject of police brutality, and I mean, it's just something that we can never get past. I mean, and then, like I say, you have racist citizens who are able to perpetrate crimes against us as well. And yeah, we're getting somewhere in some of these cases where there's somewhat a resemblance of justice, like with the McMichaels, you know, the life sentence for them is definitely called for. But I would have taken it one step further, because the son, the young McMichaels, he would have got the death penalty had I been the judge. And I'm just to a point now where, you know, I don't have any more forgiveness for a people who have never atoned for what they have done, and they further escalate their violence. They continuously, and if I'm hoping that we're paying attention to society, because you're seeing more and more Caucasian women especially try to give orders. And see, that's what really they don't feel as if we are above them, and I don't feel as if we are below them. And their whole mentality is to be over us. They don't have to be over anything. Anybody else can be doing anything. And we have saw on so many instances where black people are minding their own business, and you get these racist assholes who just can't keep their damn nose out of our business. We can be walking down the street, walking through a dog park, or watching birds, sitting in our house, eating ice cream, in our homes, sleep in our homes, playing video games, in a coffee shop, sitting waiting on some people. But you get this racist element who just can't stand to see us fucking breathe. And see, I'm to a point where I'm fed up. I'm just not the forgiving one, nor the forgetting one, because that's another thing that they always expect us to do. Just forget it. It's over with now. And then they think that they little funky-ass settlements, which is nothing more than hush money, changes the situation. A little funky-ass money doesn't bring a life back. And all the lives that have been taken at the hands of these killer cops in this system that continues to let this shit ride. Now, how many more of us are going to have to die before Joe Biden's funky ass signs a hate crime bill for us? You know, and I was talking about earlier how we are so overlooked in every aspect. That's this same funky ass administration paid back in October, I believe it was in October. I have to go back and look, but I want to say it was in October. But what Joe Biden wanted to give the Hispanic families that were separated was $4 million, like a little over $4 million. Well, they settled on $450,000, which is still a nice amount of money. But whenever it comes to us getting, and we're getting gunned down in the streets still, we're being lynched, and literally lynched, because I think about my sister Melissa McKinney's every week on a weekly basis. And I actually reached out to her through Messenger a couple of weeks ago just to check on her, because it had been a while since I had spoken with her. But I think about that sister every week, because what happened to her son should not have happened. And that was a literal lynching. And then, you know, she has cops that still harass her to this day, still harass her other son, had the audacity to ask her other son if they had found the killer of his brother, of Donye Jones is his name, who was a 24-year-old. For those who don't know the story, 24 years old. And Sister Melissa went downstairs one morning to, because she said there was a light on that was never left on. And she said there was a couple of things out of place that kind of alerted her. And she opened the back door, and there was her 24-year-old entrepreneur who was into real estate, who had aspirations of entrepreneurship, of being a businessman. So they ruled it a suicide, like they always do. The sheet that he was hung with was not a sheet from in her home. They after lynching him, they when she walked outside and found him hanging, his pants was down to his ankles. And see, that's another thing that the white supremacists would do back in the day when they would lynch black men. They would pull their pants down to their ankles, underwear and all, and dismember them, cut their penis off. And that, to me, was just symbolism, straight symbolism. But that's another case that has never been solved. Nobody's paid for that. And, yes, you better know that there were cops involved with that. They were trying to silence Sister Melissa. She's a very avid activist and was very vocal during the Mike Brown situation that happened in Ferguson. And I have never met Sister Melissa personally, but we have connected and bonded through Messenger. I've actually given her, sent out an invitation to come to this platform, and because I don't want those stories to be forgotten. We cannot forget how this system has consistently allowed white racists and these cops to just kill us at will. This is nothing new. This goes back to the 50s, 60s. And look, when police were first instituted in this country, their job was to catch slaves, and nothing much has changed. And this is why I say that so many of these laws that are on these books need to be rewritten, revisited, and amended, just like the Casual Killing Act of the 1600s, the Casual Killing Act of Virginia, and they created that law. See, and that's the thing about this country. It has always protected its white citizens. It has never, ever tried to protect its black citizens. Even when Carolyn Bryant, the instigator of the Emmett Till murder, admitted that she lied and was still alive. Now, they jailed Bill Cosby, but they let that white bitch die. They didn't even try to apprehend her or make her pay for her lie. And see, so many of our black men throughout history have been lynched behind that devil in a blue dress. That devil in a blue dress has been the progenitor of a lot of black death and continues to be. And see, this is why I say it's essential that we start galvanizing, we start bringing our mind, bodies, and spirits together. We start working on an agenda that is best for all of us. And we have got to get on code. We have got to start using what we have to benefit us. We consistently spend with a system that gives us nothing in return. And I'm just ready for us to get our minds right. Really, I want us to grasp a hold of what's happening. A lot of us allow these distractions to come into play, and then when the next police killing happens, well, we're on that for a month or 2 months. We got to get on that, and we got to stay on that. See, if we had got on the Trayvon Martin, we could have maybe dodged a Laquan McDonald. We could have possibly dodge the Mike Brown situation, but we don't stay on it. And we have got to, that's one thing that we got to do in order to stop this madness, this violence that's perpetrated against us unreasonably. And we know that we're not going to get justice from this system. We should not even expect justice from this system, because it's never given us justice. even
it's
when
the propaganda
the cases
machine,
are,
bro.
Exactly. Even when the cases are open and closed. I mean, just like to me with the let's just go back to the George Floyd case. Botham John case. The Breonna Taylor case. Those are, to me, open and shut cases. Okay, it's a damn accident, but be thorough. And see, that's the thing that is part of the problem. They're not held to a higher standard. Now, I've got a CDL, and as a CDL driver, as a licensed professional CDL commercial truck driver, I am held at a higher standard on the road than other drivers because I am considered a professional. If I am in my personal vehicle, ticketed at a higher rate than an average driver because I am a CDL commercial professional driver. So I should know the road rules. I should abide by the road rules before anybody else because I am professional. Now, so let's just see why these cops, why are they not held at a higher standard? I'll ride around Dallas sometimes, and if I see a cop, sometime I'll tell a cop just to see if they signal and what they don't do. And a lot of cops don't ever signal. They don't even abide by the law. But let you not turn your signal on 100 feet before a turn and see if they don't light you up. And the first thing that they'll tell you is, oh, well, yeah, you didn't turn on your signal. But I argued one cop down. He gave me a warning because I saw I was not going to back down. And I don't ever back down when it comes to them cowards because they don't know any more law than I do. And I try to stay up on these laws because it puts you two steps ahead of them. They go to training for 6 months. And they come out and then they want to rule the world. And then, like I say, they're not held to a higher standard. And they make up their own rules and shit as they go. And see, their rules are not law. And we got to start calling them out on their bullshit. We cannot keep cowering down. We have got to really start a movement. We can't wait on these entertainers and all that shit. I've said that 100 times. Them entertainers are not us. They don't go through what we go through. Some of them get they nigga wake up call, but it still doesn't change what they do, how they move. And then if it does happen to them, well, God forbid, it's all over the news. But when it happens to the average Joe, like myself or any other of us, is tried in their minds, in their hearts, and they work and do whatever they can do to cover that kind of shit up. And like I say, if we start staying together, we can eliminate these senseless murders, and we can demand in number. And if enough of us start raising hell, yeah, shit'll change. Have we not realized, like I said earlier, we put that crooked-ass Jim Crow Joe in office. And he ain't done shit for us. It took him every bit of, what, 3, 4, 5 weeks to sign an anti-Asian hate crime into law. Then you fast forward a few months later, he reparates the Hispanic families at the border. But during his election, when Ice Cube wanted to sit down and talk with him and that bed wench, because that's what she is, and they used her for what she was useful for, to reel in the black suckers to vote for that jackass that's in the White House now, because I don't have no more love for Biden than I did for Trump, because they two peas in the same pod. Ain't no difference in them. And how quickly have we forgotten about he was the author of that 94 crime bill during Bill Clinton's tenure in office.
as well as the three strikes law, which included the three strikes law.
Exactly. Exactly. Then you have Kamala Harris, who was jailing more black and brown people, and in California when she was attorney general. How quickly we forget. But we think that these are the people who are going to save us. Tell me, when has this system ever, whoever's in office, even when we had a black president, we didn't get shit. But we put our faith in this system instead of putting our faith in ourselves. And that's what bothers me. We put our faith and our trust in this same white devil that used to swing our great-great-great-grandmoms and granddads from trees. And, yeah, you know, nobody that's alive today has done it, but some of them that are alive today benefit from it. And, see, I say, goddamn America. And your white racists, keep that go back to Africa bullshit to yourself, because go back to the mountains. Go back where you belong. Because this land don't belong to you either. Everything that y'all touch, you take it. And you kill off a whole bunch of people in the process with no remorse. And see, you all have a fate coming to you that you are not going to like. Because, see, y'all don't like to mind nobody. That's what's wrong with you white folk, the majority of you. You don't like to mind nobody. You don't feel like you have to answer to nobody. On this very platform, I had a white nationalist called in, Zachary. And I told him, I don't feel sorry for you. I don't even understand their issue with the government that was built for white men to succeed and thrive. And I told him to his face, you're a white man in America. And if you can't succeed, that's just on your sorry ass. And that's how I feel about that. He said he was afraid of becoming the minority. They've been the minority globally. Only thing that white people have over everybody else is weaponry. Weaponry and their thirst for blood and their thirst for killing. And they don't mind extincting shit. Everywhere they go, they tear shit up. And right now, look at them, enthralled and on the brink of two wars with Russia and China. And just look back in history. When they didn't have nobody to fight, they fought their damn selves. They fought to control us. And
they
said this earlier, see, that...
They picked a bad one. Because we on the precipice of... Yeah, this is gonna be bad.
Go ahead.
And like you said, they're gonna suffer a fate that they ain't gonna like. But all of us fall into that category because we're under the control. Man, this ain't gonna be pretty.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just sitting back watching and waiting because see, America doesn't mind sacrificing some bodies. They don't mind sending our young men and women off to fight for nothing. Just like the 9/11 attack, the government planned 9/11 attacks, and I'm not afraid to say it because, yeah, not ever at any time in American history have 25 men been able to hijack 5 planes, and I guarantee you it'll never happen again unless there is something to be gained, like that oil that was over there, because that's really what that was all about. Just like the Civil War, they said it was over slavery. No, it was over greed and control. The whites in the North were mad that the whites in the South had free labor, and they didn't. And that's what that damn war was about, greed and power, plain and simple. Every war is about greed, power, and control. And America doesn't ever stick its nose in nothing unless it has something to gain. Just like over in Afghanistan, nobody paid attention to how the heroin epidemic really took off. during the Afghanistan situation. Why is that? Because that's where the heroin was at. That's where the heroin was at. So that is that. That's what they wanted. It's always something. If there's nothing to gain, America will not be there. And America, for those of you who don't know, is the puppet of the elite. America is the one who does the work of the rich, that 1% that controls everything. Why do you think they pay so much attention to this government and not other governments in other countries? Because this is the government that bullies for the elite.
We work for Israel. We work for Israel. We work for the Queen, for God's sake. It's always been like that.
Right.
We've always been subjects of the Queen around the fucking planet. They own every goddamn thing. They own every stretch of land that you can imagine, even the shit that you can't see from a goddamn Google map in space, Google satellite in space. They own every goddamn thing. We're only subjects.
Exactly. And I still say is it. We can change our condition. We don't have to suffer the whole fate that they're going to suffer, because when I say they're going to suffer, the Most High has something in store for them that ain't nobody going to be able to stop. And see, they're such an arrogant people. Not saying that other ethnicities are not arrogant, but when we speak of arrogance, I see, and it's very visible that their arrogance, they think that they are better than, they're higher than, and untouchable, and they are exempt of consequence. And for the most part, they are exempt of consequence, because this system doesn't criminalize them like it criminalizes other ethnicities and races here in America. So that is another whole subject. But my main word for tonight is unity, uniting, and organizing. It's time for us to make the Laquan McDonald's go away. It's time for us to make the Tamir Rice's go away, the Tatiana Jefferson's go away. And if we continue to fail one another, and that's what we're doing, we're failing one another by not uniting. We're failing one another. We're sitting back waiting on what? Because, see, you pray for something, you got to act. You can't just pray on it and expect it to happen. No. That's just like, I need a job, but you're not getting online. You're not putting in applications. How you going to get a job? So how are we going to change things if we're not making a concerted, collective effort? And I'm going to take a real quick break, because I want to dig into that. Because it's time for a concerted collective effort. Because if it's one thing that I do know about us, is once we put our mind to something and on something, we change shit. And it's time for us to change some shit. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Fix to take a quick 3-minute break, and we will be right back.
Hello. We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cavewoman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that E-U means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. E-U means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They'd take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head, blood everywhere, all in the mangy, disease, fur of the animal, drag the animal back to the cave, and the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the cousin devil and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones ooga. I mean sign language and all kind of stuff. You can always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman. Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue, because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talk about the goddamn white man.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. And I've got my brother Mark Higgins on line with me as well tonight. I play that clip probably dang near every show because to me it's just so much relevance in what he says. In that small clip. And I want to just empower us. I have a lot of admiration for brother, you know, our warrior king, brother Khalid Muhammad, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, rest his soul, just like so many of our outspoken, fearless warriors. He was gunned down way too soon, and that's why I am not so popular and gung-ho about black leaders. I say it's time for all of us to play our leadership positions, because there's enough going on right now that we can all and should all be involved in this movement for change, in this movement for equality, in this movement for justice. See, it's time for us to cut away from things that have been detrimental to us and this system as a whole has been detrimental to black men, women, and children. This system has nothing for us. And there is nothing wrong with building a system inside a system that will work for us long term and not this short term stuff that we keep getting that's not benefit. It's nothing that we can pass down. And then we waste so much time on things that are not progressive. And like I say, it is time for us to truly start a grassroots movement, a national movement where we can have like-minded brothers and sisters on the same page, going the same direction, trying to move the same mountains and hills that are keeping us from our goal. And honestly, and this is what I feel our goal is, to be free, to be left alone. And that seems like it's just so hard for this system to do. I mean, and even when I made reference to this earlier in a live I done, even when our ancestors, see, we worked and busted our ass to build this country for them. And then when they gave us that little so-called freedom and let us loose out here, well, our ancestors came together and worked together to build things that were beneficial. Slocum, Tulsa, Ocoee, Elaine, Rosewood, and so many other cities, little towns that we built from nothing, because this system didn't give us 40 acres and a mule. This system didn't give us shit and really didn't even give us freedom. But our ancestors still managed to take the nothing that they gave us and make something that was going to be beneficial generations to come. Had those cities been left alone by white society, just imagine how many of us could be living a better life by being able to have some generational wealth to pass down to our children, to our grandchildren. And just because it didn't happen and hasn't happened doesn't mean that it can't happen. And that is what we've got to get our mindset on. See, we got to stop thinking about ourselves, and we've got to start thinking about our children, grandchildren, great grandchildren. Because the last thing that I want to see, and I won't see it, but you know what I'm saying, the last thing that I want to envision is that my granddaughter or my grandson still begging for the same things we're begging for now. And that's why I say it's time to stop begging. Because see, we don't have to beg. We can do. And I'm not saying that it eliminates reparations, because what we're owed. And yeah, maybe we didn't go through all those hard times, but we're going through hard times now because of what this system done then and continues to do. And this system works diligently day in and day out to keep us down. It will allow anybody else to come up. Asians can come up. Iranians can come up. The Indians can come up. But we cannot come up because they saw what we did with nothing. They saw what our ancestors were able to do with nothing. Why would they equal or level the playing field to be surpassed and to be beneath us? Because the thing about us, and the reason why they have always worked so diligently to keep us out, is because they know that we are masters of everything that we survey. We are masters of everything that we touch. When we get a hold of things, we take it up a notch. We take it up a level. Tiger Woods, Venus and Serena, the young sister that's in gymnastics, Dominique Dawes, I believe her name is, and so many
race
others.
Race car driver Willie Tubbs.
We
remember
do
the race
all
car,
that.
The black race car driver Willie Tubbs.
Yep, exactly. I mean, we do it all.
Just recently, just recently.
And they definitely do not want a physical match. Anything physical, we're superior. And anything intellectual, we're more superior. We outthink people. We have always had to outthink people because people have always tried to fix situations that they didn't think we could think ourselves out of. The only thing that we have not been able to outthink them with is this racism. And we can. We have the power. We can outthink them and defeat racism. I was telling Sister on her podcast Sunday, if we were to come together in numbers like we should and use our intellect as we should, we can defeat them without even firing a shot. If we bring our power together, we can defeat them without even firing a shot. Now, there are going to be some that buck up, and there are going to be some that get down. But if we truly put our minds to it and, first of all, unlearn, relearn, separate ourselves, we will be unstoppable because we have everything we need, everything that we need. And we have never needed them. Just like I said earlier in the show, the thief is never smarter than the one he's taking from or taking. So they have never been smarter than us. Even in our ancestors coming to this new land, not knowing their language. But how intellectual were we to pick up on their language? How intellectual were we without tools to build and invent most of the things that this country still uses to this day? Very damn day. And see, they got rich off of our minds, off of our ancestors' intellect. You know, they didn't invent no brooms. They didn't have to sweep. They didn't invent no hoes. They went out in no garden. They didn't have to worry about digging. They didn't invent no shovels. They didn't even invent the cotton gin. But they invented the patent office, which allowed them to take and which allowed them to generate generational wealth. I mean, you go back to the brother that gave the recipe to the white man for Jack Daniels. But I don't see no black people rich off of Jack Daniels. Just like the sister Henrietta Lacks, who they're still using her stem cells to fight cancerous cells. So no, and do you think that anybody in our sister Henrietta Lacks family has been compensated? They didn't even tell anybody that they were using her cells, her stem cells. That's how rotten and low down of a country and a people that we're dealing with. They do anything for money and power. And unfortunately, some of us have been programmed to behave the same way, and that is unfortunate because money is not the root of all evil. Money makes some people do evil things. And some people behave differently and evil when they come into money. But
if I can touch on that, brother.
Go ahead. You go right ahead, brother.
Yeah, if I can touch on that. Earlier, you know, you were talking about how we essentially have assimilated ourselves to their culture, and they've taken everything from us, and we've started, you know, we've created so much from absolutely nothing, and all they've done is take from us. But the one thing that I know that I'm not proud of that we've taken from them and assimilated to is their fucking savagery. I've seen, we're exhibiting some shit. You know, there was a time when we used to say, when I was coming up, we used to say, man, thank God black folks don't do shit like that. You know, we didn't, back in the day, that's how we talked. We said, man,
yeah.
glad black folks don't act like that. But now, we doing the same shit and even worse to ourselves,
right.
To our own. Let alone, you know, I'm seeing too many examples of the utter savagery. Here in Chicago, they're killing old people, killing babies. And so I'm just using those as an example of how we've assimilated to that degree their savagery. And again, I'm not proud of it. And like you said before, we're the ones that got to put an end to this. And I also want to touch on what you said earlier in your live this afternoon when you were talking about, I'm going to interject a couple of things here, but when you were talking about the NFL halftime show and these sellout niggas doing this, yeah, man, I'm going to talk about it, man, because, you know, I've been in sports and entertainment, food and beverage business for over 30 years, and I've been a few Super Bowls and all these games. And from what I see, you know, this is like the worst time. And what I meant by I'm going to interject this one subject into the NFL halftime hypocrisy with the sellout music. The whole Coach Brian Flores debacle. And I'm so glad that his brother is filing a class action suit against the NFL. And there'll be, you know, of course, with it being class action, there will be more. There will be more coaches and other black personnel, black NFL personnel that are going to piggyback on this class action suit with every right, in my opinion, because. Again, we got one black head coach out of 32 teams. And then the way they did this brother, Coach Flores, the way they did his brother recently in New York and how he found out how much they had been dicking him around. And then with the owner of the team that he was hired to coach, the owner telling him, I'm going to sweeten the deal for you, nigga. I'm going to give you $100,000 to not win every game. Just don't win, and I'll give you $100,000 to tank so you can get a better draft position the next couple of years. And it went so far as to picking the wrong quarterback. When many other better quarterbacks were available, they picked him. This young Hawaiian brother, that's not a quarterback. Sorry, he's not an NFL quarterback. Great in college. Well, I'm just saying, those kind of methods and how they usurp their authority when they put you in charge, and then they usurp your authority, and then talk about sweeten the deal by paying you under the table to fucking lose. You know, there's something criminal about that, not to mention the ethics aspect of the whole fucking thing. And then not to mention this brother is supposed to – you mean to tell me you hired me to fucking lose? What does that make – how do I look to you? You know? Mm-hmm. You hired me on the pretense mm-hmm. of winning, not fucking losing. And now you telling me you want me to lose, and you gonna get, and you gonna pay me?
Yeah.
You gonna essentially tell me to sell out for you?
Exactly.
So you can make
exactly.
Off. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be really interesting. The timing of this with the whole Super Bowl fever going on right now, and again the timing of this, and especially Black History Month. And another one, I wanted to point out another thing. You mentioned with the Laquan McDonald thing. You notice how mm-hmm. you notice how every time, like during Black History Month, every time we take a step forward, they do something to mock us, to slap us in the face, to kick us down, to slow the, you know, to pick up the pace. Soon as we get something, and I think they pull this move by letting this fool out of prison, not doing half the time that he was supposed to do on the second day of Black History Month. Fuck out of my face with that shit. But that's how they play. And I really think that we should, this, like I said, the timing of this whole NFL, this coach's, this civil suit, class action suit, rather, and the halftime hypocrisy with these sellout niggas, you know, just, they mock us, and then they throw out a fucking carrot, and then we go for the fucking carrot, and then they change the game. And we're supposed to be happy.
Right.
You know.
Right.
When the fact is, we should be using moments like situations like this as a watershed moment, you know, to unify. Like you said, with Tamir Rice, if we had done something right after Tamir Rice's murder, or it just breaks my heart.
Trayvon,
Rekeel Boyd, you know. Mm-hmm. Philando Castile, we've done something after that.
Right.
And maybe I shouldn't include him. I'm talking about children that have been murdered. Children, kids that
right.
have been murdered.
Right, right.
Not that I care anything less about, you know, the brothers and sisters, adult brothers and sisters, but I'm particularly talking about children, the overwhelming amount of children that have been murdered by police. They're mm-hmm. supposed to be officer mm-hmm. friendly, trust, serve, and fucking protect. Fuck out of here, man. I mean, how many more examples do you need? So we should. This is the type of shit that we need to use as a watershed moment to come the fuck together, man. Like you said, man, and not make excuses, you know, and not be distracted, you know, and not keep fucking spending, you know, on all this Gucci, you know, like brother Khalid was saying, you know, and all this Gucci and Pucci and Jordans and all this other shit, and they give it a fuck up. But don't care about Rihanna. She don't give a fuck about me.
Exactly.
She ain't helped me make no ends. And then when she was helping me make ends, the bitch was late, 3 hours late for the goddamn show, so I didn't get to hardly make any money that night, so fuck her. I don't care.
Right,
because in the scheme of things,
right.
Their lives don't mean nothing. Because they're not part of the solution. In fact, if nothing else, a hindrance and a fucking distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I agree.
And like you said, yeah, I'm tired too, bro. I'm tired too. I'm tired of watching us, you know, go back and forth and use all these goddamn excuses for what not to do. And I'm glad, you know, it looks good. It looks good on paper. You know, Jesse Jackson's calling for a DOJ investigation. But even if there is an investigation, what's gonna be the outcome? Absolutely no justice.
Yep.
Zero justice. Because Juan McDonald is still dead. And this fool is still walking the streets. Breathing air. Waste of air. Motherfucker. And with that, I yield. Thank you, brother.
And not only that, he's free and back out in society. You know, and what's to say that, I mean, and then like you were saying too, about the, you know, yeah, it's good what Jesse is doing, but I ain't got much faith in him either.
No, not ever.
Because, you know, he's part of the same system that got rid of Dr. Martin Luther King. See, and then I
we all know
hold him accountable. I hold him, exactly, and I hold him so
absolutely
accountable for that because, see, he stopped something that could have truly made a difference for all black people. But what did he do? He see, and that's the thing.
He sacrificed Dr. King.
Exactly, and that's another reason why I say we don't need leaders because that brings out egos, you know. And what we saw with even with the murder of Malcolm, same thing. Egos become involved. People want to be okay. I'm the leader, but somebody want to be me. Somebody wants to be bigger than me. You know, and then that's when the opportunities for the infiltration happens because, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I can help you get so-and-so. I can help you get, but what you going to do for me? What's in? And then all along wanting to take that position, you know, and then what do you do with that position? Because what did Jesse do? Nothing. Nothing. He's done nothing for the black movement. Except make up some damn rhymes and anybody can we all got that talent to rap and rhyme. That's just something that we do. But
see, Don
what did
King
he do?
Don King did it better. I remember that fool. Remember Don King?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why I say, you know, we really don't need leaders because, yeah, we are, and we as a people, and I'm going to say this, and some people may not like it, but we're an envious people. We're jealous-hearted people.
Indeed. You're right.
You know, and we will cut each other down to build self up. You know, and I don't understand that concept because I'm not going to hurt my brother nor my sister to try to make myself bigger or better. If I can't be bigger or better on my merit, on my character, on just from me being me, well, I don't deserve it. You know, so that's, you know, that's another thing that we have got to get over and get past our inability to see one of us and appreciate one of us who is doing good because I love to see us, you know, I for one, I like to see us excelling and progressing. I like to see black businesses owners. I like to see people doing better tomorrow than they did today. You know, we should all want to see us, especially us, who have never
especially, with that said,
had,
we should all, when you see somebody doing good, you should be curious as to how you doing so good, and how can I be down instead of hating.
Exactly.
Instead of trying to take what they work so fucking hard for, instead of trying to piggyback,
exactly.
You should be curious as to how the fuck they got there.
Exactly. And then, too, sometimes you get some of us who get out, work our way up the ladder, but then want to sell the information to people that you know don't have the income. But me, myself, like with this trucking business, I'm busting my ass to get going. If I ever get there, when I get there, information is
there you go.
Because
there you go.
I want to see other black trucking companies. See, it's enough of white everything here, and it's time to what's the word I need to say here? It's time for us to blacken America. I guess I put it like that, you know, because it's enough doctors, it's enough black lawyers, it's enough black architects, it's enough black engineers. It's for us to have our own and just
to create
separate
a network.
Exactly, brother. That's what I'm talking about, to create a network for us, by us, that truly will benefit us. Because like I've always, you know, I've been saying the last few weeks, you know, we have got to build something. See, this government, this system, yeah, it'll give you something, but it's not anything that's lasting. And that's what we're lacking. We need something for us, by us, that's going to last, you know, because my goal is to build something that can go four generations strong, which would be my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren, so that they can say, well, damn, you know, our pawpaw great-great-granddaddy Melvin, you know, he put this together for us. I'm so glad he, you know, and that's what we need to be doing. And we have a lot of intellectual, entrepreneurial minds. But what do we lack? What do we lack? We always lack the funding. We always lack the money to do it. You know, and with our younger generations, we've got to grab back. We got to snatch them by the, I'm just going to keep it real. It's time for us to snatch our younger generation by the collar and get them back in line. Just like our great-grandparents and grandparents used to do with us. You get out of line, you get your collar snatched. You know, and we've got to get back to that mentality, that village mentality, you know, that helping one another mentality. And that's what we have truly lost here, because this system has made us so selfish. This system has made us self-absorbed with the invent of this social media stuff. It's made people selfish. People don't care about others. And it's always me. And me can't do nothing by itself. I can do things. Yeah, you can do things by you, but you can't really accomplish things by yourself. Everybody needs somebody. And see, we need each other. Go on and throw that in. We need each other out here. Because like I say, I have saw with my own eyes what we don't have, what we're lacking. And the things that we are lacking are not unattainable. We can, they are within our reach, you know. And that's what I want us to understand. I want us to understand our power. We saw our power in this last election. You know, had it not been for the black vote, yeah, it wouldn't be no Jim Crow Joe or Kamala in the White House right now. And we even in that did not recognize we don't recognize our power. Our power is in our numbers. Our power is in our unity and our ability to work together. And that's what we got to start doing. You know, I mean, the sooner the better. Like yesterday, and then, you know, this generation is not like us. You know, we were a more learned generation. You know, we had to pay attention. We had to listen. We didn't have the internet, and we didn't have the world at our fingertips like these youth have it now. So a lot of things that we learned, we genuinely learned. Researched, read, listened. But this generation is a generation of show me. They want to see it because they can see the world any and every day. You know, all they got to do is log in. What you say, bro?
Instantly. Like instant gratification.
Exactly. You know, so, yeah, we have
so,
got to
so
get
distracted. We weren't as distracted. I mean, yeah, we didn't know the world. We only knew our world and our block. We weren't aware like these kids are now. We wasn't woke We didn't know what was going on, you know, halfway around the world in an instant. We had to, like you said, we had to go to the encyclopedia and almanacs and everything. You had to buy it's a Britannica encyclopedia to learn about what was going on in New Guinea or, you know, something like that. So these kids have instant access, and it's still not enough because you just want more and more and more and more and more. And then they're so damn distracted, they can't focus on shit.
True. Because every day is a new distraction, you know.
And they're bombarded. Every day. I mean, we are. As a society, we're fucking bombarded from every direction with bloody violence. I just lost someone 2 days ago to bloody violence. 32-year-old child, a woman that I've known since she was 10 years old, used to babysit my babies, and found out that she was murdered on the south side Sunday afternoon by her baby daddy. And so you know that they're so distracted, and desensitized by violence that it's nothing. You know, the real life means nothing. You got no value. And that's what Brother Khalid was talking about. When he uses the word devil, he's not talking about Satan. He's talking about devaluing. The origin of that word devil is to devalue. And so when he uses that term, that's exactly what he's talking about. Devaluing us. Taking the life, sucking the life out of everything, like you said, a fate that they're not gonna like, is soon come, and unfortunately, a lot of us are gonna suffer.
True. I sometimes, brother, get to thinking, you know, what is it that's going to galvanize us? You know, what is it going to take to truly bring us together and bring us together in a fashion like we were together in the 60s and the 50s? And, you know, it's I don't know. It's mind-boggling, and really, it's needed. We're just. I don't think that most of us realize the severity of the situation. You know, I don't think we truly grasp a hold of what we're dealing with. You know, and we're dying out here. You know, that is what's so
at an overwhelming rate.
Exactly. I mean, and something you said earlier, and it had me thinking about a story that I read this story earlier, how we have, you know, pretty much adapted to their ways. And I'm reading a story earlier where this young woman, they have a daughter together, and this young man killed the mother, shot the mother in the head twice, took the baby and discarded the baby in a river. They found the carry-all seat, but they have yet to recover the baby's body. And that disturbed me. I read another story where a black woman threw her daughter into a they were at the zoo, apparently, and threw her into the bear caves. So I read another story where a woman threw her 2-year-old baby into a river, killing the 2-year-old, and the 5-year-old survived, but was in critical condition. We are adapting to their way. We have adapted and picked up so many of their characteristics.
Yep. Because we were assimilated to their savagery.
Exactly, like you said.
Exactly. You know, like I said earlier, man, you know, we used to say, man, you know, at least black folks don't do that. We might be fucked up somewhat, but at least we don't do that shit. And now we do that shit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you said that, it resonated because, you know, when certain things happen like that, you just automatically off the rip say, oh, well, that must have been
Daddy
somebody white. But, you know, then you get the story and it's like, oh, wow. Just like with, tell you a perfect example. And this is back when I first started driving trucks, too. And I was nervous out there on the road when the snipers, the DC snipers, were active. And that's like when I first had started driving. And I was up on the West Coast a lot, in and out through Maryland area and up through Newark and D.C. and all that, you know, that area. And I was very nervous. And I remember when they caught them. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, yeah, we fixing to see a couple of, you know, maniacal white guys.
White
but
nationals.
To my surprise, exactly. But to everyone's surprise, and I think that even shocked white people when So, you know, there are certain mindsets, yes, that we have taken on that are totally out of character for us. You know,
to add to that, and I know I'm not trying to make light of it, but I love the. With the DC sniper, I love what Dave Chappelle said when he said, "I knew the DC sniper was black because he was only shooting people on the weekdays. He was taking weekends off. You know, he had to be black because he was taking Saturday and Sunday off."
Yeah, Dave Chappelle can make light of, but yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that was
a disgruntled former Marine who was he had issues with superior officers when he was in the Marine Corps, and that's what prompted him to do the. And he recruited this teenage boy that was hustling on the street, and he said, "I'll pay you. I'll teach you how to shoot like an expert shot, like I am."
Right.
And he did.
Right. Right, and just like the I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but the other police officer that was out, I think it was out in Los Angeles where that happened, where he went on the rampage and he killed a couple of cops, and then he went off up into Christopher Dorn, that's him, yeah, and went off up into the mountains and, you know, barricaded himself in and fought until he couldn't fight anymore, and, you know, he killed himself.
He got revenge, though.
But
he got revenge.
Exactly,
he killed the LAPD lieutenant who did him wrong. He killed his daughter like the day before her wedding day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and see, those
and he was
are,
a he was a disgruntled
are,
Navy SEAL. He was a Navy SEAL, and he had been on the LAPD. For a few years, and his white female partner had done some dirt, and then when he didn't co-sign on it, and then when he reported her, that's when they turned their back on him. That's when they vilified him.
Right. 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 And in all those circumstances, you know, I mean, when we do react in such a violent and there's always a story behind it. We never just start killing people.
It's always because of something.
Exactly.
You gotta provoke a nigga, man. What you say about my mama? You say something about my mama? You know, something like that.
Right.
A nigga ain't just going to be like, oh, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to go kill 14 people at school. No, man, we don't do that shit.
Right.
Well, at least we did used to do that shit.
Exactly.
But
that's not our character, true. You know, and for the most part, we don't. We're not really a reactionary people like that, because if that were the case with us, there would be a lot of missing Caucasians. And not only that, if that were in our character, truly in our character, our ancestors could have taken everybody out that didn't look like them.
That's what I was going to say. Slavery would have lasted one day.
Exactly. You know, we had the numbers back then. And not only that, we were in their kitchens. Our women were raising their children. And if we had that vindictive mentality like they did, yeah, a lot of them would not have made it. You know, and in the end, like I said earlier, the deterrent is the weaponry. And their sheer brutality.
That's it.
And
guns.
Exactly. You know, and their willingness to do harm. Because if it's one thing that they will do and that they do know, it's killing, hunting, you know, whether it be human or animal. You know, is this just in their blood to kill. They're nature.
They no fun.
You know?
They don't run.
Yeah, right. You know, and that's just like I read a story that happened. I can't remember where it was at, but there was a brother, and there were, I think, 4 or 5 white guys, but he worked with one of the guys, was friends with one of the guys, and they invited him to go on a hunting trip with them. This is recent, and he ends up shot in the back, and nobody has been jailed for that either, because, you know, they all got together and they said he was the aggressor. So with that being said, out of a few pairs of white lips, that's going to be what they go with. But I don't see that story the way they told it either, because, first of all, I myself am not going to the woods with 4 or 5 white men. And him being the only black, if there was any type of a confrontation or an issue, I don't see him I don't see him cowering down, but I don't see him being the full aggressor either.
No.
You know.
No, not by any stretch.
Exactly. You know, and then that's just another one of those cases, just like the sister. You know, this was about 3 years or so ago.
Yeah, with the sleepover.
Was at the slumber party.
Those 7
exactly.
White women. Yeah,
exactly.
And then they found her in the backyard the next, found her at 6:30 in the next morning, and nobody saw her go to sleep.
Nobody knows what happened to her, and nobody paid the price.
Nope,
you know, they ruled it an accident. You know, just like with this particular story, they're not jailing anybody. They're saying it was self-defense, you know. And if you shoot a man in the back, it's not self-defense. He's trying to get away from you. He doesn't want any confrontation. And this brother was, they found, I want to say, I'd have to go back, like I say, it was earlier in the week when I ran across that story. But I want to say that they found 2 bullet wounds to his back.
in his back, you know. So the brother was definitely not being confrontational if he was shot twice in the back, you know. So, you know, that's just another case of, you know, that white privilege, you know, just like in the case that I was talking about earlier with the sister that thought she was going on a date and she ends up dead and nobody's held responsible. Just like the case here in McKinney where they found the sister hanging in her garage and nobody was held accountable. And that's the biggest part of the problem. And that's where we come in. We have got to start holding these murderers accountable. And if the justice system doesn't want to give us justice, it is time for us to start administering justice. Because it's our God-given right to defend ourselves. It's a God-given right that we, exactly, that we defend ourselves, and it's time for us to start defending ourselves. And then, too, like when I'm out and about, you know, if I see a sister by herself, I kind of eyeball it, especially if it's night, you know, to make sure she, if she's going out of the store the same time as me, I just kind of eyeball, make sure, you know, because women, and especially black women, are targeted because
biggest target in the world.
You know, exactly. And it's because we're superior organs. People don't believe in this organ stuff, this organ harvesting. But it's real. It's so real. I mean, I was telling some brothers in the barbershop the other week, we every black man and black woman is a walking millionaire. We just don't get to reap the benefits of it. Our organs are superior. Heart, when they look for hearts, they look for the black hearts. They look for the black blood. They look for the black kidneys because they know that those organs are superior in function. Just like what was that damn Rockefeller that had 7 or 8 heart transplants.
Yeah, he had,
you know,
young black hearts.
And then, exactly. Exactly. You know, and that's why I tell black people, don't put your name on, don't put, I tell my daughter, don't sign up to be an organ donor. Don't put that on the back of your driver's license because one of these rich white people need a heart. Something will, they can make something happen to you because you got the same blood type, this and that. And then you
just
are
like
an organ
in that
donor,
movie, John
so.
Q. That Denzel Washington movie, John Q. Where that white woman died in a car accident. And they took her heart for their boy.
And just like what's that movie? The movie with the brother where she tapped a coffee cup and put him in a trance.
Get Out.
Get Out. Just another, you know, one of those examples. They wanted his eyes, you know.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Like I say, that is exactly. Just like with this, with the Kendall Johnson case down in Valdosta, Georgia, you know, and they exhume his body and they find his body stuffed with newspapers and all his organs
with
gone.
Newspaper.
Brain gone.
Unbelievable.
His newspaper.
Yeah, like
exactly.
Both of his kidneys, his liver, and his brain.
Yeah.
And this all happened in the span of a fucking classroom period?
Exactly.
A gym period.
Exactly.
All this happened within a gym period.
That's right.
So that shit was planned.
And now I was reading just yesterday where the sheriff in Valdosta has offered $500,000 reward for information in that case. So I'm hoping that $500 is going to make somebody, one of them little white girls that was dating, them two white boys that they questioned whose dad was a FBI agent. So that's why that got swept under the rug. You know, that's just like what happened. Something similar happened in my hometown a few years back. There was a young brother who was dating this white girl. And they were out, and there was an altercation that happened with the young brother and a couple of white boys, one of them that used to date the white girl. So words were exchanged, and the brother, apparently the white guy was still in his pickup and never got out his pickup, and the black guy approached him, and the white guy took off and drug him through the Holiday Inn parking lot, damn near killed that young brother. And this, the white guy, the young white boy who did it, well, his parents were some of those prominent rich people in Sulphur Springs, and he never was charged with anything. Luckily, the young brother did live. He was in intensive care for a few weeks, and had to go through extensive rehabilitation. But the young white boy that drug him suffered no consequences, not a
zero.
One. Zero. Zero. This is America. And this is why.
Just like
I
that
do
boy, but
do.
Just
this
like
is,
that boy on the Stanford University swimming team that raped that girl in an alley behind a fucking dumpster. Raped that black girl in the alley behind a dumpster, but his daddy is a California Supreme Court justice, and he got no time because the lawyer said doing the prison would ruin his life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember that case. Yeah. Yeah. He's one of too affluent. And hell, jail will ruin anybody's life, you know? I mean, so, yeah, I do remember that case, too. I sure do. You know, but then that's just, you know, that privilege, you know, that complexion for the protection. And then, too, whenever the victim looks like me or you, well, yeah, they'll sweep that right on under the rug because not many black people have the money to fight it. You know, so what do you do about it? And then not only that, you know, in so many cases, when you are black and you speak out, and especially against the system and the police, well, they start targeting you. The fear tactics.
And that's what's
going
to happen to Coach.
Know?
That's exactly what's going to happen to Coach Brian Flores. They're going to try to dig up everything. So that begs the question. If this brother was good enough to be hired in the first place and they did all kinds of background investigation on you, they know your history, they know everything you did from college to your pro days, and now you're going to paint him as a bad guy, but he was good enough to coach. He was good enough to be hired. But now, since he's filing the case against you, now they're going to dig up all kinds of fucking so-called dirt and make up all kinds of bullshit, and they'll even go so far, and you talked about this before, they'll even go so far as to drag up some shit, like they'll say, well, he has a nephew that's a known gangbanger and drug dealer and criminal, and so they'll link him with somebody that may not even be fucking related to him, but they'll link him to something like that to vilify him.
Mhm. Yep.
So I'm looking forward to this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kind of
just like
when that girl got raped
by all those Duke rugby players, Duke University rugby players.
Yep.
And some of those kids, some of those boys were had prominent, rich, wealthy daddies. That's Duke University, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Those are tobacco giants. So they got away with it. And that girl was vilified. Yep. They drug her took her through the ringer.
Yeah. I remember that case as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many instances where we have been the victim turned villain. You know, just like with George Floyd case, I mean, shit, he fucking strangled and killed the man, kneeled on the man's neck. So fuck how George Floyd was living. And I saw some of the most disrespectful shit today. Do you know that there is a dispensary? I don't know what dispensary this was, but they have a George Floyd marijuana.
And the package actually had a picture of George Floyd on it. So I'm kind of wondering, does the family know about this? Because, see, those are the types of things that they continue to do to disrespect and dishonor our dead.
They mock us. That's what they do.
Exactly.
They mock us. It's all part of the goddamn propaganda machine that's geared toward grinding black people, man. And it's so sad. And you know, speaking of George Floyd, I don't know if you know about this, but you know, his little niece was murdered.
I read that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so typical. Just like in Ferguson. Just like with the Mike Brown situation, the one brother that was the lead activist, one of the leading activists down there.
Mm-hmm.
They found him shot up. They found him shot up in his car. Remember that?
Exactly. Yep.
So when you were talking about your leaders standing up.
During that Ferguson, they found, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say there were like three activists that were murdered shortly after that.
Yep.
You know, they call it a riot, but I call it a protest, you know. But, yeah, I remember reading that because I can remember the one about the one that you just spoke of, and then it was like after that one there was another one, and then there was another one, you know. So I'm like, you know, it's like, I don't know, we can't win for losing.
These police, and what you were talking about with Miss McKinney, you know, how they've been intimidating and harassing her and her family.
Exactly.
You know,
they were
doing that. They've been doing that. They're known for doing that shit, man. When you win a case, look what they did to Breonna Taylor.
Right.
They've been harassing her family ever since.
Yeah. Yep. And she has been silenced because, you know, anytime they take that money, that's hush money. And like I say, that money is not going to bring their loved one back. They pay that money so that people will stop talking about it, you know. And from what I have read and researched over the years, you know, when you take that money, they actually make it a stipulation that you can no longer speak about your own loved one, you know. And that, to me, is crazy.
Yeah, you have to sign
the grieving
confidentiality
process. Yeah, exactly. You know, and the grieving process never ends. I lost a son in 2008, and I still grieve him to this day. You know, and to have to have one of your loved ones taken at the hands of one of these miscreants, you know, yeah, that's disturbing and upsetting. You know, and then you're not even allowed to grieve because they give you a little bit of funky money. I wouldn't take their money because they would not stop me from grieving and talking about my loved one, period. So they could take their money and shove it up their ass for real if it was me. To me, that's not like selling out, but it's the equivalent because they buy you. They silence you, you know. So, yeah.
And it kind of really give you no choice. They say, take it or else. And they still harass
right.
you, even with all that money. You know, they say shit like,
right.
you won't live to spend all that money. We're going to get our money back. Mm. And that's what they do, man.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
They told Rodney King the same thing. You, nigga, you're not going to live to spend that money. And sure enough, they found his ass dead in the swimming pool. OD. Of course he OD'd. Yeah. He didn't even do heroin.
Hmm. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. It's crazy out here. Like I say, we definitely got to start, you know, utilizing what we have to our benefit, you know. I got about 5 minutes left. Well, about 4 minutes left. I'll give you a couple of minutes to give some closing thoughts, If you like.
Well, thank you, brother. If I could just echo the same sentiments as you, with what you opened up with tonight and subject matter, and this whole Laquan McDonald situation has got my beloved city on its ear, and like you said earlier, if it's time to stop making excuses and do something, and it looks like in my beloved city, the people ain't taking this line down. Like I said earlier, there's viable threats. There have been promises. You know, these gangsters don't play here in Chicago, man. They don't play. And they've told the police, yeah, we coming after y'all. So with that said, it's not safe. And I hope that everyone understands and recognizes that this could be a watershed moment for us, and to take the steps, take the necessary steps in order to get the ball rolling, in order to, you know, inbound the ball and let's go, because we ain't got time for no more excuses. And with that said, and I'll wind this up real quick, bro. I know you don't got a lot of time, but with that said, the rules gonna change big time once this war starts. Everything, the rules gonna change big time. So I recommend everybody stock up for real, because the store's gonna close and ain't gonna open up again for a long time. So get ready, because everything's gonna change, because we are on the precipice of a bad thing. And what you said earlier about the fate that they're gonna suffer, they ain't gonna like it. It's true, and it's coming. It's right around the corner, because we in that time. And I'm not a big Bible thumper or anything of that nature, but history has proven that situations like this, they don't turn out well, and nobody is safe. Nobody comes out clean in this kind of shit. So rules gonna change, everything, but we gonna be on some serious lockdown, and take care of your people. That's all I can say. Take care of your people. Love one another. Come together, and just make this happen for the sake of our people and the generations in front of us that depend on us, that count on us. And with that, I yield. Thank you, brother.
No problem, brother. I appreciate you calling in, dialoguing with me tonight. I just want to say in closing, it is time. You know, it's truly time for us to change the narrative, change the condition, and think about our future for a change. And we need to stop allowing ourselves to be the victim. See, the sooner we come together, stay together, and demand justice. And when I say demand justice, I'm saying demand. Just like we demand our pay, just like we demand our children do their best, it's time for us to demand this system to just leave us alone, desserts. Let us prosper. Allow us to live in peace. You know, that's all we're asking. You know, my brother said the other day, I was talking to him, you know, we really just want to be left alone. And really, that's it, you know, because we can manage ourselves if we're allowed to, but we're never given that chance. And that's why I say things that we want, we have to be prepared to take some of them, because some things are not going to be given, and we already know in this system was not going to be given. So it's time for us to ready ourselves, and if it requires us taking our freedom, we have to be prepared to do that. And I want to thank everybody for listening, all my listeners overseas, Ireland, Germany, Nigeria, Canada, U.S., and this show, one of the shows will be broadcast tomorrow also on the Activate Media
org platform out of Boston, Mass. I appreciate all my listeners. Like I say, I love y'all, because without y'all, there would be no me. And I'm here just because of you all, because I want us all to be able to live. We deserve that. And it's our God-given right. So like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network, and this has been The Big Picture with Melvin Sirius Jr. I will probably be back on Monday to do another show. I got a couple of more weeks before I switch over, so I'll keep doing shows here until that switch happens, because I love my people, and I'm here for y'all. With that being said, I'm out. Peace. Power.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, because everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, because ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big
policy. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hits, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunnin'. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.